It is time for us to take a look at the theatre. Fancy a trip to the stalls? Be taking a show, a bit of a musical, or if you fancy a bit of a trip around an arts venue? Well, audio description makes it more level, opens it up for blind and partially sighted people. And Anne Hornsby from Mind's Eye Audio Description is with us. Hello, Anne.
Hello, Alan.
How are we?
Very well, thank you.
Good, good. Now, we're going to take a look at some events that are coming up with audio description. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start off with a bit of a, I imagine it's a bit of a rip-roaring one, this one. Bit of Tom Jones?
A bit of Tom Jones, a bit of swivelling hips.
Oh, yes.
Yes, thrusting pelvis. Lots of that to describe, as you can imagine. Yes, this is the story of Tom Jones' early life. And when he was about 16 in the mid-50s, it takes us up to when he has his first number one. He eventually makes it big time. And it follows his relationship with his wife, who sadly died earlier this year. She was 15 when she got pregnant with their son, Mark, and they were married and lived together, I think 59 years they were together.
Wow.
So this is looking back at the very early days when they're in Pontypridd in Wales, and he's singing in the pub and he's trying to make it, and he just doesn't seem to be able to get through the glass ceiling and to really command the interest of people further afield. And then eventually he finds himself in London with the band, and he battles to be able to record a number which was written for Sandy Shaw. And then that really takes off, and as we end the show, then he's really made it big time. He's on Top of the Pops, and the show finishes with three of his very popular numbers, with many of the audience standing up and joining in and singing along, which they are invited to do at that point, so that's all fine and good.
Now, yeah. This one is in Bradford, Anne, but I presume it's going to Wales as well.
It is certainly, yes. I'm looking forward to describing it in Venue Cymru in Llandudno. I know it's going to other places as well, no doubt there'll be audio description there, but it will feel very special, even though that's North Wales, but it'll feel very special with the performance actually in Wales.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, let's look at King Lear next.
I'm just working on this afternoon, and there's a sorry story for us all. I've just got to the point where Gloucester has his eyes gouged out, and I don't really like to watch this scene very much, but I have to describe it, so I have to describe it for the listeners. It's one of the most uncomfortable scenes in theatre, but of course it's a very powerful play all about the relationships between parents and their offspring. We have the king who takes offence at his youngest daughter just because she chooses not to flatter him in the way her two sisters do. The king turns his back on his youngest daughter and then discovers that his two oldest daughters aren't as fond of him as he perhaps thought. And so they turn their backs on their father, and he is left really just wandering the length and breadth of the country as his wits begin to fail him. And then we've got a sort of parallel story with Gloucester and his two sons, and he's deceived into thinking that one of his sons has betrayed him, whereas in fact we as an audience know he hasn't. And it's after he's lost his sight that his son guides him, but he disguises his voice and his appearance so his father doesn't recognize him, and he leads him to safety. But it's a powerful story, and it's one I think you have to experience it. Mm. A lot of it is still very relevant, and you can relate to it, because it is just about parents, children, misunderstandings, misgivings, betrayal, disloyalty, and there are some characters in there who remain loyal to the end, and that is the youngest daughter and also a nobleman by the name of Kent, and the son whose father turned his back on him, that's Edgar, but he remains loyal to his father throughout. So lots to think about with that one.
That's the Royal Exchange in Manchester. Do you ever get them? You know, just what you were saying at the beginning of this one, you know, productions that are really difficult to describe, or you think, oh, not a nice bit, but I really have to do this.
That's right. I mean, a describer must never censor what they see. So sometimes you may feel slightly uncomfortable watching it yourself. Or I know another one is Saved, where the stones get hurled into a baby's pram, and that's a very difficult scene for anyone to stomach. But it's the describer's role to make sure the audience knows fully what's going on. And those are the sorts of scenes that people will talk about afterwards. Mm. And for sighted people, those are probably scenes that will remain with them. So it's important that our listeners fully understand and appreciate what's going on there. Although you are, of course, very aware that you're speaking directly into somebody's ear. So you don't want to be as harsh and as violent as it would be possible to be, but in no way do you diminish what's going on the stage. So it's always a sort of question of editing and a decision about how you convey that information.
Okay, we're going to stay in Manchester, and we're not looking at theatre this time. You've got some Japanese art.
Yes, this is an interesting exhibition. It's at Manchester Art Gallery. It's up in a gallery that has just been refurbished, opened up, so it's a lot lighter, it's a lot more spacious than it was, which is good for partially sighted visitors. And it's an interesting mix because it has Japanese, either the objects come from Japan or they're made by Japanese artists or they're inspired by Japanese artists. And we have a mix of furniture, jewelry, ceramics and fashion, because the gallery does have a store of costumes, which it hasn't, I think they feel they've not really been able to display these and exhibit them as much as they like. So by intermingling the different genres, if you like, they're able to put all of these objects on display and for people to experience the similarities between them. So and also a lot of Japanese artists work across the discipline. So you might have somebody who creates jewelry who also works in fashion, or who works in fashion but also works in furniture. Mm. So it's an interesting mix there, and it's a great opportunity to experience some beautiful pieces that are out on display here.
Is it harder to describe something in a gallery or a museum than it is for you to describe to a visually impaired person something that's going on a stage? Because although in the gallery things are pretty static usually, mm-hmm. You must really have to go into a lot of detail.
You do need to go into a lot of detail, but also you don't want to overload the listeners with information. Obviously, if you're in a theatre situation, you've got the dialogue, the music, the atmosphere, which is all you're just adding to what's already there. Whereas when you're in a gallery or museum situation, especially if you can't touch the pieces, then everything that the listeners experience of that object will come from the words and the descriptions you're giving, and also the information that the education or the curatorial staff give. So it is a big challenge, and you do need to really prepare and think about what kind of words would you use. And I also talk about how it would feel if we could touch it, just to try and make it more of a multi-sensory experience in that way.
Okay, I'm going to squeeze one final one. I've got a little bit of time. I want to squeeze this one because it's a fun one. On tour again, but in Wolverhampton on the, I think it's the 5th of May, you've got Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yes, that's right. This is always great fun to audio describe this one. It's completed a few tours and it's out on tour again. So coming up at a range of cities, coming up at Bristol, Wolverhampton and various other places. And this is about the three queens, the three gay guys who like dressing up in frocks and outrageous costumes and hairdos, and they go off across Australia on a very pink, very camp bus, and it's about the journey, the relationships between them, and interspersed between all that are some fabulous numbers that everybody will know, karaoke favourites. costumes, and the guys just dress up in the most fabulous costumes, and usually we get to touch those on the tour beforehand, so it's a real fun night out, that one.
Do they have a bus called Priscilla on stage?
They do, yes, yes. It's almost full size, and again, on the touch tour, we get to feel it, so it's sort of cut away on one side so we can... The inside is visible and open to us, and yes, it's gloriously camp and all lights up, and it's pink and fluffy inside.
Fantastic.
So what more do you need? Except I could do with one to go around the country to my shows.
Just finally, Anne, if people would like to find out more about some of the performances and the venues that Mind's Eye Arts are describing in, how do they get in touch?
Best way is to go to the website, that's www.mindseyedescription.co.uk. If you go to the events page, there's all kinds of things listed on there. Also, we're on Twitter, that's at Mind's Eye Arts, and the email address is mindseyedescription@gmail.com.
Pleasure as always, Anne. Thanks once again for speaking with us on Insight on RIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Alan.